Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our national training call. This morning is Monday, October 29th, 2018. This is Mike Riches hosting the call this morning from the Dallas, Texas area. I got to tell you, I am so incredibly excited this morning. We have got none other than Mr. Adam Thompson standing by live, who's going to speak to us. He's our keynote trainer this morning, and we are so excited to hear from him this morning. I hope that you're in a place where you can really actively listen and learn this morning. I've learned this about getting on these calls. It's always a good thing. There's always a lot of positive information that you can pick up. But every time I've heard Mr. Adam Thompson train on this call, it's always been just chock full of really great information. So I hope you're ready to take some notes and certainly learn a lot here this morning. This is an exciting week that we are that we're in. We're closing out the month of October, what we like to call Shocktober, because we're shocking the marketplace, and that has certainly been what's happening. We have had agents opening a massive amount of new groups taking advantage of the 2017 group rates. We've got just a couple days left to take advantage of that. If you've gone and you've met with a group, this is important. I want you to hear me on this. If you've met with a group in the month of October and you've talked to them about the 2017 rates, of course, the best thing that you can do is enroll that group here in the month of October. But there are going to be some cases, and some of you have run into this, where you know, you've got a group and they're doing their open enrollment and they want you to come in for their open enrollment. Maybe that's in November, maybe that's in December. A lot of groups right now are doing their open enrollment for January 1st effective date. And I just want to be really clear with you, you can offer those 2017 rates with the 2017 plan, but you can offer those lower rates. You can do that if it's effective January 1st, as long as the business is in before the end of the year. But you will need to show that you issued a proposal in October. And I say that because you got a couple days left. This would be a great time if you've got a group that's going to be the case that you've been working with, and it looks like you're going to enroll them before the first of the year, and that you're going to have business to send in before the first of the year, I would go ahead and issue them a proposal. You can get those on ellisengage.com, and you can date them today. And issue that before the end of the month here in October. So just something to keep in mind. I want to make sure that we're taking full advantage of those group rates while we've had those here in the month of October. I know many, many of our agents have. So, again, we're closing out the month. We've got three full days left in the month of October, and then we're going to be issuing in the month of November with some very, very exciting announcements, some exciting developments. And I'm just thrilled about everything that's on the slate for the month of November. But I don't want to talk about November too much because we're still in the month of October, and I know many of us are closing up business. Many of you are doing enrollments with groups. You're selling individual memberships here in the month of October. Remember that all points, all counters, all sales need to be in by the 31st. You can see those end-of-month deadlines on our Facebook page, on the Legal Shield Facebook page as well. They do extend those a little bit on the last day of the month, but the best thing that you can do is not wait till the last day. Make sure that you're getting business in today and tomorrow to give yourself a little bit of a buffer for that business to process. And that way, if there's an application where maybe you missed a digit or something wasn't exactly correct, you give yourself a little opportunity to fix that on Wednesday. But again, we're excited for that. We've got two things coming up this week that I want to make sure are on your radar. On Wednesday, the 31st, we're going to have a Halloween edition of a B2B certification training. So if you have not yet gotten your employee benefits, your B2B certification, that would be a great opportunity to get that done this Wednesday. It goes from 12 to 2 p.m. Central Time, 12 to 2 p.m. Central Time. That is a live webinar. It's designed to kind of be the final piece in your certification, meaning that we would want you to get all of the videos, online videos, on the B2B certification site, the employee benefit site, completed before Wednesday. I would invite you to do that. But even if you're already certified and would like to attend that webinar, you are more than welcome to do so. We always invite folks to come back and re-attend. It's live, although we're going to be covering some of the same questions. There are always new points of conversation that we get into on that webinar. So we always would love to have folks come back and re-attend that. You're more than welcome to do so. Again, that's this Wednesday. And when I say Halloween edition, I don't know that that means anything, except it's going to be on Halloween. The content is going to be our typical B2B certification. I don't have any scary jokes or stories to tell you on this Wednesday certification. And then this Friday at 9 a.m. Central Time, we have our once-a-month B2B roundtable call. That's a call that we do, again, 9 a.m. It goes for about an hour. It's this Friday. It's the first Friday of every month, so this Friday the 2nd. And I'm really looking forward to that call. It's one of my favorite calls that we do. It's a call where we have some of our top producers all come together. We discuss different things that are happening. Folks can ask questions. There's not really an agenda for that call. We just talk about what's happening in the marketplace and what's working effectively in the marketplace. I'm sure that there's going to be some exciting things that we can talk about as far as announcements for the month of November on this Friday's B2B Roundtable call. So definitely plan for that. We would love to have you. Again, that's this Friday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Let's go to the state of Louisiana. We are so excited this morning. We've got Miss Kelly McNamara, and she is joining us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I know, Kelly, you had a chance to spend some time in Cookeville, Tennessee, at our office there in Cookeville last week. I'd love for you to talk about that and then talk about some of the success that you've had here in the employee benefits marketplace. For those of you who don't know Kelly, she just hit the senior director level for the first time this month with Group Production. We are so proud of her efforts there. I know Ms. Melanie Nabb is super proud. She works with Kelly there in Baton Rouge. And Kelly, we're all excited for you. We'd love to hear your thoughts this morning on your trip to Cookeville and anything that you've learned in setting up this group business here in the month of October.
Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning? I hope everyone's doing well on this Monday morning. I had a great experience this past weekend in Cookeville, Tennessee. I was able to spend time at the Riches Farm and Harvard Risk Management and the great team there. I want to let you know, as a former business owner and someone who worked for a corporation, there is nothing like being able to have the opportunity to work with a group of people in a team, definitely a team environment that gives you unlimited support and people that truly care about you succeeding. These days, you can work for someone and the work-life balance is so hard to manage family, children, and to see the example that they set as a family of 10, very, very less stressful life that they live. If they don't live a stressful life, they sure do possess to have one up there in Cookeville, Tennessee. The Riches are a great example of what the career at Harvard is able to offer you. Work-life balance is so hard to get every day. I went into Harvard thinking that, oh, I love people. I love to work in the environment of meeting people, building relationships, always wanting to be out. And recruiting really wasn't what I intended to do. However, this weekend I learned that recruiting is something that I definitely want to do. After talking with Mark, I was really closed-minded going into it. And coming out of Cookeville, back on the plane to Baton Rouge, I was already in the airport trying to recruit more people on the way home. It was just something that opened my eyes. I wasn't very familiar with network marketing. They explained it to me very well, something that I was totally looking forward into, trying to grow my team and learn that I don't have to be out there like I think that I have to be out there every day. Definitely you have to support your team, and that's something that they showed me. You can't just recruit someone and expect for them to do all the work. It doesn't happen that way. You have to have the support all the way up. And they definitely can give you the support all the way up. That's what I learned in Cookville this past weekend. I also learned Mark took us out in the field, very casual day, and we went around to a few businesses and were able to talk with some business owners. And when you're working group, you have to realize that not everyone is going to accept you. You have to walk in. You have to be very personable. When you walk in, you're walking in to build a relationship, not to open the group necessarily. If they want to open, great, fine, sign them up. But if they don't, you just have to be real thankful that they gave you just a few minutes of their time, whether they told you who the right decision maker was or not. You take their card, you tell them thank you, you send them a thank you note. You never know who that person may know. In fact, great example, come back to the office, and Susan in Harvard sees a card on the desk, and she says, Kelly, did you stop by this company? And I said, yes. She goes, oh, my friend and I know the company owner very well. And I said, are you serious? And she said, yes. I said, he was one of the ones who just shut us down completely. And she said, no way. And I said, yes. So you never know who someone might know. You never know what that might trigger in a situation that they might need our product. So that definitely was a great example of recruiting, talking with the girls in the office and just showing them how we are in the field every day, because they're not in the field. They don't know what kind of objections we get. It was great. Being there was perfect. Being part of Harvard is something that I can't explain. It was just a great experience.
Well, Kelly, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing. And I know that was a great trip. I'll tell you what, that's something, folks, that – you know, it took Kelly buying a plane ticket and getting up to Cookville, Tennessee, but what an experience that she had being able to be there, and we sure do appreciate you sharing that on the call this morning, and congratulations to you on your success so far in the month of October, and I know you've got some exciting things coming as you close out the year as well. Speaking of Cookville, Tennessee, Let's go there now. We've got our founder and CEO, Mr. Mark Rich, is standing by. I know, Mark, you're excited. We've got a big week coming up this week and a lot to be excited about. We would love to hear your thoughts on closing out the month of October and then what to look forward to after that.
Awesome. Well, thanks for everyone being on the call. It was great having Kelly here in town for a couple days. I learned a lot from her, as I always do, from anyone that visits, and just excited. We've got lots of momentum coming into the last 3 days of the month. A lot of new Performance Club qualifiers. I want to extend my congratulations to each of them. What a terrific job. Getting Performance Club qualified is so important. We've got a record number of qualifiers. We've got a lot of new senior directors and executive directors this month, so congratulations to everyone that's pushing hard and closing strong. This Thursday, as many of you know, we'll be launching a new recruiting and training system. I'm very excited about that. I've talked to a lot of folks, and they're excited. I just want you to know that we're going to be putting a special video in the back office, in your Harvard back office, this Thursday morning. So you don't have to wait for the call, the team call Thursday night. You can get all the information you need to know this Thursday morning. It'll probably go up around midnight. On Wednesday night, and so you'll have access to that. There'll be some links, some important documents and stuff to really help you understand, and we'll have all of our leaders on that video breaking down the new system, and I'm really excited about that. There's a few things, though, that you need to do right now, and I'm going to give you three things. There's 3 days left in the month. Let's do these three things. Number one, and this is kind of a repeat of what I shared on the video that's right now in the back office, but you've got to be a Legal Shield associate before Thursday. So if you're listening to this call and you're not a Legal Shield associate, get with your sponsor today and say, hey, I need to become a Legal Shield associate and get that done. Here's why, because many of the tools and resources that we launch on Thursday won't be available to you unless you're an associate. We don't want you scrambling Thursday and Friday just to get that done when everyone else is launching their video. Or not their video, but their business. So we want to make sure that you're in a position to maximize the new system, and that would require you to become an associate. So get through your new agent training, get your associate agreement finished, and duplicate that in your team. Who on your team is not yet a Legal Shield associate, we want to make sure that they also are included in the in the system. Number two, and this is a key thing, you got to be Performance Club qualified. October is a very critical month for this because it's the first qualifying month for the Cabo trip. Cabo San Lucas is an incredible place. I've been there. It's going to be an incredible Performance Club trip. The trip's valued. It's you and someone else, airfare, hotel accommodations at the new Hard Rock Hotel there and resort. It's brand new. We'll be one of the first groups in it. That's probably valued at close to $3,000 just for that trip. It's an all-inclusive resort. On top of that, Legal Shield gives you $750 cash just to spend while you're there. It's a nice trip. And if you miss Performance Club in October, you're not going to qualify for the trip. So it's so important to become a Legal Shield associate. You can't Performance Club qualified unless you're an associate. So those two things go right hand in hand. If you're already a Legal Shield associate, you got to make sure you have at least 90 Performance Club points by midnight on Wednesday. And just what I want to echo what Mike said, don't wait till that last minute. Get it done early. Get it done today and tomorrow so that you have Wednesday as kind of a backup to make sure that any missing points can be taken care of. But 90 Performance Club points at a minimum. We want you to be on the Performance Club Pro program, which is 180, but 90 is the minimum to qualify for Cabo. Now, I just want to make sure you understand, if you do 90 points this month, that's not all you need to do to go to Cabo. There's other things. But if you don't do 90 points this month, you're not going to Cabo. So that's make sure that's clear in your mind. We want every one of you there. It's an incredible trip. Do not leave $3,700 laying on the table at Legal Shield, and they're going to give that trip to someone else. Why not you? Why not that incredible trip for you to be part of our team there in Cabo? And number three, be sure that you are registered. I know many of you are because the event is almost sold out, but be sure that you're registered for the systems training in Cookeville, Tennessee, December 7th and 8th. Anytime we launch a new system, there's going to be a lot of training needed to make sure that you fully understand all aspects of it. And this training in Cookeville is not just for you, but it's for every member of your team. So as a leader, you want to reach down into your organization and identify those that you want to get to Cookeville. Just ask yourself, who in my team do I want to become an executive director the first quarter of 2019? And if you can get four or five people there and they all qualify for executive director, you're going to be a platinum going into the leadership training Legal Shield convention in March in Dallas. So, it's really about promoting. It's about you getting there, making a decision. That's leadership, you showing up, but it's also about promoting and getting your team there. That's December 7th and 8th. You can click on the events tab in the back office. You'll see the two events Mike's talking about, and then right below that is called the systems training in Cookeville, Tennessee, December 7th and 8th. It is almost sold out, so probably after today it will no longer be available to register for. So don't put that off if you've not yet registered. And then one other event I'll mention right below that on the events calendar is the Dallas Legal Shield Convention for March of 2019. We still have a few of the $69 tickets available. I believe Legal Shield's selling them for $129. We bought a book of them or a block of them, and we still have a few of those available. Be sure to take advantage of that. Again, I want to encourage you to close strong the month of October. Make sure that you're Performance Club qualified. You can look at that right in your back office as you log in. If that number at the top there doesn't show at least 90, go get that done today and tomorrow. We want you to be Performance Club qualified at a very bare minimum. Appreciate each one of you. Let's close it out strong. And, Mike, I'll turn the call back to you.
Fantastic. Well, Mark, thank you very, very much. And as I mentioned at the start of the call here, folks, we are so thrilled this morning to have Mr. Adam Thompson, our team's newest $200,000 earner with Legal Shield. Adam and his wife, Alicia, were recognized at the Nashville conference for that incredible achievement, and I know both of them feel that they are just getting started, that they're just scratching the surface with that kind of an income. They have been able to protect thousands of families personally with the memberships that we provide, and are now empowering other people in their team and their organization to be able to do the same. We are so proud of their efforts. And I just want to mention again, I know I said this earlier, but having been on these kinds of calls for 16 and a half years, I've really grown to appreciate Adam. Every time he trains, he really brings it. He does such a phenomenal job, and the information that he shares is so applicable for what we're seeing right now in the marketplace, and we are certainly, again, excited to have him on the call this morning. Without further ado, I'll be thrilled to introduce, again, from the state of Kentucky, Mr. Adam Thompson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Riches, both of you. And again, I want to give all glory to God and thank him for putting you two men and a lot of other leaders from this company in my life. Absolutely changed it for the better. We say a lot in our legal show business that we're just getting started, and I have never in almost 5 years been as excited as I am now, because there's so many wonderful things just they're bubbling over. We can't hold them. And Malachi 3:10, he says, your cup won't run over. He said, I'll give you so many blessings, you won't be able to hold the blessings I give you. With that, I'm going to jump right into today's training. It's going to be special even for me. I've asked Mr. Mike Riches to, when he's so eloquently cued by yours truly, we're going to play a short excerpt of a video, or rather an audio, of a book that I just completed. I can't say that enough for any new folks on the line, and I want to be hackneyed on purpose. I want you old folks and you folks that have been around forever to say, oh, great, here he goes with another book recommendation. Absolutely, here I go with another book recommendation. It's called Who Moved My Cheese? I found out a super short, super lightning fast read. It was an audio for me. I knocked it out in one day. I found out that it's the most sold book on Amazon.com, which is insanity, right? So we've got a short audio of that, and I'll cue it up soon, Mike, but I wanted to let you guys know for note takers, we're going to talk today about three main themes. We're going to talk about mornings, we're going to talk about change, of course, hence the book, and we're going to talk about vision. And I've knocked it all out on one page and just split it, take your notes however you want, but this will be a shorter one today. Let's talk about the morning. Let's talk about when we plug in our cell phones at night. Terry Savelle's voice says, when we plug in our cell phones at night, that next morning, that phone is ready. If you remember to plug it in the night before, that phone has full bars, full battery. It's ready to do whatever you need it to do on your smartphone. And there's never a time when your phone's going to, quote, unquote, work better than in the morning. All that to say, do your hard stuff in the morning. Top load your morning. Be like the millionaires and the billionaires that you've heard their names. Some of us can even recognize voices. When you hear Oprah, when you hear Richard Branson, when you hear Steve Jobs, the late, great Steve Jobs, when you hear Warren Buffett and those people, you'll even recognize their voices because you're ready and you're, as Tony Robbins says, in your hour of power if you're listening to personal development in the morning. That hour of power in the morning, Tony Robbins says, is 20 minutes of exercise, 20 minutes of reading, and 20 minutes of prayer, or your meditation, whatever that works for you. For me, it's just straight-up good old-fashioned prayer. A lot of folks have these amazing, you know, morning routines. Richard Branson, worth about $5 billion, just shy of $5 billion, wakes up at 5:30 and takes a swim. But get this, talk about success leaves clues. He takes a swim around his island, right? This guy's worth $5 billion. And he's waking up and doing a very specific, very structured, can't-touch-it morning routine. When Alicia and I started growing our team, my lovely wife Alicia, when we started growing our team, I had to really, I found out the hard way, I had to let my team know that my mornings are protected. When I wake up at a certain time each day, there's a number of things that have to happen before anyone else can get a hold of me. They talk about it on an airplane as far as putting your oxygen mask on first. I was raised in a region, in an area, in a time where everything was about, well, when you have kids, everything becomes about your kids. That's not true. I didn't relearn that until I was 35 or 40 and saying, hey, your kids can't be the most important thing in your life. You've got to protect yourself so that you can protect your kid. Having said that, protect your morning so that you can protect the rest of your day. And doing my research for this call, I was flabbergasted, just blown away. The example that stood out the most, those of us that were raised in the 80s and 90s, we call him Marky Mark, but you all know him as Mark Wahlberg. He's an actor now. He gets up at 2, that's right, 2:30 in the morning and finishes his day at 7:30 p.m. And that really spoke to me because I'm the guy who likes to stay up late and watch my Netflix and whatever else, but maybe those are some of the changes that I'll make moving forward to get future success for me. But talk about inspiration. He gets up at 2:30, finds time to have 2 breakfasts, 2 workouts, 2 showers, family time every single day. And there's none of that filler. Alicia and I talk all the time. We talk about all killer, no filler. You know, just the really important stuff, he's top-loading that. That's what these billionaires call. Top-loading is doing the stuff you don't want to do. In our line of work, the calls. And this group call this morning, this Harvard Risk Management group team call, group producers team call, we do a whole lot of reaching out to businesses. For those of you who are on the call for the first time, Scott Brooks put it eloquently many years ago and said 50 dials a day. And I learned through rhymes, right? So 50 dials a day turns into 50K. Excuse me, 50 dials is 50 sales or 100K. But that picking up the phone, the thing that we don't want to do, that's that heavy work, right? The phone, they say, you know, it ends up weighing 1,000 pounds if someone says no to you. Well, let that go, folks. Let that go. Do your hard stuff in the morning and protect your routine. Lastly, on that morning thing, I want you to have this image in your head. The reason, talking about snooze buttons, okay, the reason that the spaceship or the rocket ships expend so much, almost all of their fuel, is to escape the pull of gravity. They spend so much of their fuel getting off the ground. Same exact analogy for your morning. Fight as hard as you can. Obviously, you have the most comfortable bed in the world, and yes, I'm talking to you. And your pillow is just right, and the covers are finally, you know, getting just the way you want them. You've got to fight. You've got to escape that morning snooze button. You've got to expend the bulk of your fuel early in the morning to get your day the way you want it to be. Next, I'd like to talk about change. And in a nutshell, Mike, this is, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to queue up and get the audio ready, please, and thank you. But as far as talking about change, the book is called Who Moved My Cheese? And I'm very novice when it comes to giving copyrights and all that stuff. A gentleman, a physician named Spencer Johnson, was a physician in the 70s, if I think I've got it right, and he became an author. And he wrote this phenomenally short, amazing book that I just personally read myself. And it was a recommendation from Mr. Mark Bridges, like a lot of my books are. Thank you so much, sir. But it spoke to me in a way that a book hasn't in years. I always said, for me personally, my Bible is the most important book ever written. Second most for me was Think and Grow Rich, followed at a razor-sharp third by The Power of Consistency by Weldon Long. But I literally posted the moment I finished this book. To me, it's the fourth most important book I've ever read, and right now it speaks to me more than any other book is. And I'd love to do a short summary. Take what notes you can. We'll kind of touch over it at the end, and I'll just kind of finish up with a few more thoughts about vision. And then, Mike, if you don't mind, just go ahead and play that for me, sir. Thanks so much.
Once long ago in a land far away, there lived 4 little characters who ran through a maze looking for cheese to nourish them and make them happy.
2 were mice named Sniff and Scurry.
And 2 were little people named Hem and Haw.
As different as the mice and little people were, they shared one thing in common.
Every morning, they left their homes and raced out into the maze to find their favorite cheese.
Sniff and Scurry had simple brains but good instincts. They used a simple method of trial and error.
Sniff would smell out the general direction of the cheese.
And Scurry would race ahead.
They often went off in the wrong direction and bumped into walls.
But Hem and Haw had complex brains with beliefs and emotions that made their life in the maze more complicated and challenging.
Finding cheese was important to the little people.
It was a way of getting what they thought they needed to be happy. For some, it was having material things. For others, it was health or peace of mind.
For Haw, cheese meant living in a cozy cottage with a loving family on Cheddar Lane.
To him, cheese meant being a big cheese in a mansion atop Camembert Hill.
Eventually, they all discovered their own kind of cheese in Cheese Station C.
Every morning after that, Sniff and Scurry woke early each day and ran the same route through the maze to Cheese Station C. Sniff and Scurry hung their running shoes around their necks in case they needed to get to them quickly.
But Ham and Haw awoke each day a little later and sauntered over to Cheese Station C.
After all, they knew where the cheese was and how to get there, and they assumed it would always be there.
Ham and Haw put their running shoes away. They thought they wouldn't be needing them again.
This is great! There's enough cheese here to last us forever!
Sure is!
They felt secure. They even decorated the walls with sayings.
Ham and Haw became so comfortable they didn't notice what had been happening.
Meanwhile, Sniff and Scurry inspected the area each morning to see if there had been any changes from the day before.
One morning, they arrived at Cheese Station C and discovered there was no cheese.
They weren't surprised, since they'd noticed the supply of cheese had been getting smaller.
The mice did not overanalyze things. The situation had changed, so Sniff and Scurry changed.
They were soon off in search of new cheese.
Later that day, Ham and Haw arrived at Cheese Station C.
They had not been paying attention to the changes that had been taking place.
What? No cheese? No cheese? Who moved my cheese? It's not fair!
Ham, I know we're smarter than mice, but we're not acting like it at the moment. What'll happen if the cheese isn't here tomorrow? I've made plans based on this cheese!
While Sniff and Scurry had moved on, Ham and Haw continued to Ham and Haw.
One night, Haw wrote on the wall,
"The more important cheese is to you, the more you want to hold on to it."
The next day, Ham and Haw still somehow expected to find their cheese in the same place.
Why did they do this to me?
Now, where are Sniff and Scurry? Do you think they know something we don't?
Nah, they're just simple mice. We're little people. We're entitled to our cheese.
Yeah, but maybe we should just simply get going and find some new cheese.
Oh, no. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. I want things to be the way they were.
Meanwhile, Sniff and Scurry moved further into the maze. They didn't think of anything else but finding new cheese.
After much trial and error, Sniff and Scurry found the biggest store of cheese they had ever seen at Cheese Station N.
Meanwhile, Hem and Haw were still hemming and hawing at empty Cheese Station C.
Then, Haw began to imagine himself out in the maze, finding fresh, new cheese.
Before long, he could almost taste it.
Come on, Hem. Let's go.
No, I like it here. It's comfortable. Besides, it's real dangerous out there.
Haw imagined the worst. His hope of finding new cheese faded.
So every day, Ham and Haw went from their homes to Cheeseless Station C.
And returned home again with empty bellies, full of nothing but stress.
Who moved my cheese? Who moved my cheese? Who moved my
Ham.
Cheese?
Ham, look at us. We keep doing the same things over and over and wonder why things don't get better. It's time to move on.
Well, you're not really going out into the maze again. Why don't we wait here until they put the cheese back?
You just don't get it. They're never going to put the old cheese back. That was yesterday's cheese. It's time to find new cheese.
Oh, but what if there's no cheese out there? Or what if you can't find it?
Ham, life moves on, and so should we.
No! Who moved my cheese? Who moved my cheese? Who moved my
cheese? If we don't change, we could become extinct.
Like Ham, a part of Haw was afraid. Then Haw wrote on the wall what he had been thinking about.
What would you do if you weren't afraid?
It wasn't long before Haw knew what to do. Haw gathered all his courage and jogged into the unknown.
It's maze time!
At first he felt lost. But it wasn't long before he began to find his way.
Being back in the maze isn't nearly as bad as I feared. How did I get into this situation? I've been watching what was happening.
Ha stopped to write on the maze wall what he was learning.
Smell the cheese often so you know when it's getting old.
Ha hoped that these handwritings on the wall would not only be reminders to himself, but also a marked trail for him to follow if he chose to enter the maze.
Why do I feel so good? I don't have any cheese and I don't know where it is. Aha! When you move beyond your fear, you feel free.
The more clearly Ha imagined himself finding new cheese, the more real it became.
Imagining myself enjoying new cheese even before I find it leads me to it.
Finally, Ha arrived at a large cheese station.
But it was practically empty.
I'm too late. If I'd moved on sooner, I might have found a lot of new cheese here.
Ha did find several delicious morsels of new cheese.
It wasn't much, but enough to keep him going.
I've got to get back and tell him there's some new cheese out here.
Ha raced back to Cheese Station C, following the route he had marked.
He found his friend still hemming and hawing. Hem had not even put on his running shoes.
Oh, Hem, you look hungry. Here, have a few bits of new cheese.
I don't think I would like new cheese. I want my own cheese back. I'm sure if I wait here long enough, things will be the way they were.
Will Hem ever change?
Hem was left behind, hemmed in by fear, comfort, and denial.
I guess Hem believes he can't or won't enjoy new cheese. He seems to believe that if he ventures into the maze, things will get worse. I see now that if I do things differently, things will get better. When you change what you believe, you change what you do.
Ha found bits of cheese here and there and began to regain his strength. He had hoped that Hem might find his way by reading the handwriting on the wall.
Ha had let go of the past and was adapting to the present. He was pursuing new cheese.
And then it happened.
Piled high everywhere was the greatest supply of cheese he had ever seen.
Wow! New cheese! Is it real or just my imagination? It is real!
Ha realized that Sniff and Scurry had been enjoying new cheese for quite a while. He vowed that next time, he would change faster.
Ha knew it would be easy for him to slip back to his old ways if he got too comfortable.
So each day, he inspected Cheese Station N to check the condition of his cheese.
He went out into the maze and explored new areas.
He knew it was safer to be aware of his real choices than to isolate himself in his comfort zone. Then one day, Ha heard what he thought was the sound of movement out in the maze.
Could it be Hem? Was Hem about to turn the corner?
Ha hoped that maybe, at last, his friend was finally able to
move to the new cheese and enjoy it.
Can you read the handwriting on the wall? Change happens. They keep moving the cheese. Anticipate change. Smell the cheese often so you know when it's getting old. Adapt to change quickly. The quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you can enjoy new cheese. Enjoy change. Savor the adventure and enjoy the taste of new cheese. Be ready to change quickly and enjoy it again. They keep moving the cheese.
And folks, thank you so much for that. Mike, I appreciate your help with the technical side of things. I wanted to touch on, as we finish up here, some of the things that spoke to me during that summary and during the book that I read. I want to, even if it's one line that speaks to you, I want to recap just a bit of it. They talked about thinking too much about your old ways or your cheese, right? Thinking too much about your cheese may paralyze, so just start looking. you know they're going to move it. Things are going to change is inevitable, right? The only thing that doesn't change is the fact that change is going to happen. Next is nothing lasts forever. Keep your eyes open for any approaching changes. I think with our new recruiting system coming up, and Mark Rich is always teaching me to grow in the fear zone, and in fact, that's the best place to grow, because in that fear zone, when you're afraid, you're getting better. Don't be afraid. Don't look at kind of the paying yourself into the corner and burying your head, you know, as it were. Really reach out and get uncomfortable. Alicia teaches me all the time. She says, you know, be comfortable being uncomfortable. There is always new cheese. It will get better. One of the biggest things that spoke to me was, you know, what the book says, what would you do if you weren't afraid? I mean, we could do an hour-long training just on that. And with that, I want to segue and finish up with a concept of vision. The Bible says in the book, New Testament, and I think it's New Testament, in Habakkuk 2:2, part B, it says, write your vision and make it plain. My amazing wife has taught me so much about my faith and spirituality and things of that sort. And one of the things that we have worked through and learned about together is a concept of a vision board. We put the things on there that we literally want to achieve in visual representations, whether it's piles of money from a screenshot I take off Google, or the barn that we want to build for the horses, or the type of fence that we want to put around our property, things like that. And we're writing that vision, or we have written that vision, and constantly update it, you know, constantly course correct. One of the most important things I've ever learned in being a student of the Legal Shield business and the Harvard Risk Management model, and the leaders like Mark and Mike and all the folks, Jim Tanner and everyone, as they say, let's not start naming names, but the concept of the constant course correction, something to the effect of, you know, a rocket ship going to the moon is adjusting, making minute adjustments just every, almost the entire time, every moment or so. It's having to go left, go right, go up, go down. Eventually, it does end up on the moon, but it's never just, you know, as they say, set it and forget it. It is something that we're constantly being made aware of any changes that need to happen. And you make those. So that's why I'm so excited about this new recruiting system. With your vision board, you have to have a target. You know, we talk about goals incessantly in this company. If you haven't figured out Earl Nightingale's The Strangest Secret, that's the best half hour of audio or video that I think you're ever going to look at. Before you turn on Netflix tonight, commit to yourself that you get the, hopefully you've already heard it and you know, hear it again. But get the audio called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. It talks about goals. It talks about a ship being in a harbor. And if there's no crew, no destination point, no guidance system, nothing like that, if you just turn the engine on, it's just going to sit there. It might float around and maybe possibly make it out of the harbor, but it would always end up derelict on a beach or on shore. However, if you give it that GPS, that guidance system, the crew, the target, the aiming point, the goal, it will almost always reach its destination. Same thing with your vision board. You have to be able to see and emotionalize how you're going to feel. My son asked me this morning on the way to school, Dad, how can you remember so-and-so? And I explained to him a very simple concept that memories are tied to emotion. When you were a little boy, when you were a little girl, and you saw something or heard something or were in an experience that made you sad or super-duper happy or very, very angry or any of those things, when emotion is tied to it, you can remember it in milliseconds. You can always remember falling off your bike. You can always remember that time that you were XYZ and this happened, right? The reason you can remember that so quickly and so vividly is because emotion was tied to it. So all that to say, tie an emotion to your dream. Tie an emotion to your vision. My wife is just rereading or finishing reading Weldon Long's The Power of Consistency. He speaks about a quiet time ritual, which is basically a 15-minute period of which you have 24 times, you know, 4, whatever that number is, several hundred 15-minute periods in a day, and you need to put the oxygen mask on you, like we talked about, and you need to selfishly take and hold on to and utilize one of those 15-minute windows. Hopefully not when it's when you're driving, but maybe up early in the morning or staying up a little later at night. And take that 15 minutes, and it's not even about prayer or being alone with your thoughts or any of those fun, cute things. This is purely selfishly about your goals and your dreams. You need to feel and smell if you can and taste if you can and see if you can what your dreams mean to you. I paused on purpose to let it sink in. Mr. Alistair Edwards taught us that at a Super Saturday recently. You need to emotionalize and feel an emotional connection to your thoughts and your dreams. When that happens, all the rest is downhill. That's the most difficult thing. So once you figure out that method for you, whether it's a quiet space in your basement or alone in your prayer closet or wherever you go, once you emotionally connect how you're going to feel when your dreams are accomplished, the rest is downhill. I mean, obviously you got to do the activity. You know, we will always tell you new folks, and always tell our seasoned veteran and everyone in between that this job is not easy, but it's simple. It's absolutely simple. If you do the work, you will get the results. I've got a ton of people who are not even on our team that we just feel bound and the need and we feel led to help. I've got folks calling us all the time who months ago were saying, how do I make this happen? And a few weeks later, we talk about activity, and they call back and say, I'm not getting the results. How do I make this happen? And we touch, and we say, how's your activity, right? That's it. That's where it is. It's all an activity. But you have to be able to drive it to the emotional connection. I want to make sure that I'm touching on everything. Absolutely, yes. The last thing is a win. I want you guys to know that when you think it's down, it's just a matter of time. God's going to bring you through a valley, put you on top of a mountain. I went to the best in 5 years now. I went to the best decision-maker meeting I've ever been to. And I haven't shared this with anyone but Alicia. But I went to the best decision-maker meeting I've ever been to. It was pretty much a cold walk-in. You know, I called to make sure he was going to be there. And in the words of Dave Perperno, we were just going to, you know, put a name to a face to a name, drop off a business card, so on and so forth. And I rolled the dice, and I drove 2 hours one way for a decision-maker meeting, thinking that it was going to, you know, work out. Your sixth sense, your Holy Spirit, you're listening to that small, still voice. It ended up being about an hour and a half. I worked with two different departments. Never even had to ask for the sale. The guy was blown away, yada, yada, yada. And they said, you've got to get this in front of our over 300 employees. And this is within like a 5 to 10 day window. They're like, can you do it now? So yes, absolutely, I can do it now. We want to thank God for all the blessings that are you know, to come and boiling over, and thank you so much for the time on the call, Mr. Mike and Mark Riches, and I'll turn it back to you guys.
Wow, fantastic training, Mr. Adam Thompson. Thank you. Thank you for preparing that. Thank you for sharing it in such an excellent way. Like I said earlier, folks, I mean, I've always been so impressed with Adam's preparation. And you know, I know he said kind of jokingly about, you know, another book recommendation, but it's one of the things that I respect about Adam so much, and one of the things that I really, really, I know what kind of a difference that has made in his life. This man is a personal development guru. I mean, he listens to audios, he reads books, he just really immerses himself in personal development, and you see the difference that it's made in his business. You know, a lot of people would have hit, you know, that $100,000 mark and been satisfied with that and thought, man, I'm making a good living here. Or maybe gotten to 150 and thought, you know, hey, I'm good to go. I've arrived. And yet Adam and Alicia didn't stop at all. They just kept right on going, and we're so proud of their efforts, but so grateful that they're so willing to share with so many others as well. And Adam, we thank you again for putting that training together this morning. What a powerful concept, being able to change, being comfortable with things that may not be comfortable. You know, most people can't handle change. Most people just can't do it. And yet, I love that audio that you played. I just think it's so true in that book, Who Moved My Cheese. what a fantastic way to put that, to simplify it. But people just don't like change. And you heard the one guy, I forget if it was him or Ha, but he was sitting there saying, "No, I'm sure it'll come back. I'm sure I'm just not willing to change." You know, I see that in our business, people who come in from, you know, whatever kind of environment they were in, whether that was a corporate environment or maybe more of a blue collar environment. I mean, we got people that come from all different backgrounds, and yet the successful folks, just like Kelly was talking about this morning, she's had different backgrounds. She's worked in different environments before, and yet she was able to come in and adapt to what we do. And that's what the successful people do. They don't sit there and try to fit everything in the box of what they already know. They just adapt, and they say, "Okay, look, I know I've learned a lot in my career. There may be some of it that applies to this, but let me learn what you've got to share first." I remember going to an event. This was years ago, but Paul J. Meyer, who was a billionaire, spoke at this Legal Shield event, and he had invested heavily in Legal Shield, was building a team in Legal Shield. He had become a billionaire through his own businesses, but I remember he was speaking at this event, and he said, and I just thought it was great. He said, for the first 6 months, he was speaking about something else, but this was kind of a side note. He said, "You know, look, for those of you who are just getting started, for the first 6 months, spare us your brilliance, okay? We know you're good at what you did in the past. We know that you were the best. But just spare us your brilliance. Just follow the system for the first 6 months and see how that goes for you." I know that was kind of an abrupt way to put it. When you're a billionaire, you can say kind of whatever you want. But I'll tell you how true that is. For those people, and we've got people that come in our business all the time who were very successful in whatever career path they were in before they start with Harvard Risk Management. And we have people all the time that come in and like Paul J. Meyer said, spare us their brilliance. They commit to following the system. They buckle down. They go through training. Some of what they hear in training is not new to them, but that doesn't stop them. They're looking for what is new, what they can apply. And I just have all the respect in the world for these individuals. You know, I didn't have that advantage when I got started, or disadvantage, I guess. I don't know what you'd call it, but that was not my situation because I didn't really come out of a long, successful career. I was 23 years old, 22 turning 23 years old. So I was very open, very, very coachable, very teachable because I knew that I didn't know what I was doing. I don't think I looked at that as an advantage at the time. But looking back, I can tell you what a great advantage that was. I was very much like the two little mice, just, you know, I'd taken everything and taking in the change and was not set in my ways because I hadn't been around long enough to be set in my ways. And I look back, I'm very grateful for that. Well, for some of you, that's not your situation, and you're having to learn to adapt. You're having to learn a new model, a new business, a new skill set. And some of you are doing very well at being coachable and being teachable, and I just think that is such a brilliant concept for life, not just for this business. And then what Adam shared on getting up in the morning and protecting your morning so that it can benefit the rest of your day, what a powerful concept there is that is, you know. People don't plan to fail, but they fail to plan. And I really believe that. I really believe that if we just took some time in the morning, and whatever that looks like for you, prayer, meditation, study, whatever that looks like for you, but if we took some time to ourselves to really find our center and be our best self throughout the day, and if part of that time we could plan our day out, if we could step forward with intention, if we could begin our day with intention, I'm telling you, I just know what kind of a difference that can make. And so I'm so grateful for Mr. Adam Thompson preparing and sharing just such an incredible training this morning. We are so appreciative of Mr. Mark Riches sharing as well. We've got an exciting week coming up. I hope that you're ready for the week, and I hope that you're taking heed, paying attention to closing out the month of October in a big, big way. Take advantage of these 2017 rates. Right now is the time to get serious more than ever before, and I hope that you're willing and able and committed to doing that. Also, a big thank you to Ms. Kelly McNamara from Baton Rouge for sharing on the call this morning. Kelly's one of those people that, as I mentioned, that is in that position where she's coming out of another career, but yet totally humble, totally teachable, totally coachable. I hope you kind of heard what she said. She showed up in Cookeville kind of with the idea that she was not going to be involved in the team building side of our business at all. I can just tell you right now, if that's your idea, going and hanging out with my brother's not the place to go if you want to keep that thinking, if you want to stay thinking that way, because he's a perfect testimonial at what growing a team and building a team and supporting a team can do. And this business, Legal Shield specifically, has been a blessing for him and his life, for so many of us, and we're grateful for those opportunities. Again, thank you to Kelly for sharing on the call this morning. And thank you to each of you for plugging in. Let's go out and make it a fantastic week. Let's close out the month of October, again, in a big, big way as we launch into a new and exciting chapter in our Harvard Risk Management story and in the story of your business as we usher in the month of November. God bless every one of you, and we'll talk to you soon.